Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? That you are. You are blessed and highly flavored. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb who was slain for us, sent his Spirit. You know, in the time that we're in right now, in the area where the Lord says it's important that we abide, and he who abides in him, and he who abides in the Lord will abide in him. And there is that place in that time as we continue to abide. And the things that we abide in, of course, is his presence, his word of prayer, and in fellowship. And in fellowship, it's corporate. That's why the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. And it's important in fellowship. But the enemy will always try to bring division. I mean, his job is to bring division and separation. His job is to bring fear. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's important that we recognize these things. So many times we move and do things without seeing it all the way through. Remember, the Lord never pushes. He doesn't threaten us. He leads us. He doesn't push. He leads. And there's times when we drink from something. In other words, there are wells that we drink from. And it's important that we learn what well we're drinking from. Because when we drink from the wrong well, or we mix the water from one well to the other well, it produces mixed messages. And that's why it's vitally important that we're able to discern. And one of the things that the Spirit put in my heart tonight was the area of wells of his presence. Because these wells carry his presence. And it's our responsibility to dig. In other words, you dig for treasure, you dig because you're pressing in. And if you're drinking of the correct well, the well that God has given you to drink from. See, because there's two types of wells. There's the corporate well that we drink from, and then there's the personal well we drink from. And it should be the same water. Has everybody got it? It should be the same water. The corporate well and the personal well. And it should be the same water. But when we begin, the enemy always loves to lead us to or deceive us in an area of drinking of something that begins to mix with the water. You know, there's times when you can go somewhere and drink from one area, and you can grab another bottle of water, and you can tell that they both have two different tastes, you know? And it's like, man, you don't want to mix the one that doesn't have that fresh taste with the one that has the good taste. One is refreshing, and the other one is just water, you know? Because you got to have water, so you're not going to go like, oh, man, you know, I mean, unless you have plenty of the other water. But there's some times when you just need to get a drink, and we have a tendency to just drink, even though we're not realizing about the taste of the water. And that happens spiritually, not only physically, but it happens spiritually. Because we can be so zealous for the Lord that we'll just drink anything. We'll just drink whatever. And not even realize what we're drinking. And then you're going to tell by whether you're in the state of being pushed, being led, whether there's fear, whether whatever there is that's causing that area to bring or eliminate peace. Peace. Because where there's torment, that's not God. God is the God of peace. So the enemy always even likes to dip his cup into another well and try and bring it to you. He tries to offer you another cup And you don't even realize that you just drank from the cup of the enemy. And it's polluted. And when it's polluted and contaminated, it begins to contaminate you. And you begin to speak things that you're not supposed to speak. Or you begin to speak things out of season. Or you begin to see things you're not supposed to be seeing. Or misinterpreting what you're seeing. And even what you're hearing. Remember, the enemy is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. His purpose is to lead us to the wrong well. He has a tendency to push us there. And I want to go to Genesis 26. Hallelujah. Genesis 26. It's like, you know what? You need to ask yourself, what well am I drinking from? Hallelujah. Genesis 26, and starting at verse 1, and let's speak this together, please. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all of this land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. And I'll give your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham did what? Obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," because he thought, "Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold." Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have laid with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flock and possessions of herds and great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the what? Wells, which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. One of the things about this is Abraham, and his descendants, this was Isaac, he was blessed. He was blessed. But to maintain this blessing, he had to keep a well. Because it's the well of God's presence. And in this, because they had stopped up the wells, and even though that some were filled and they would dig another one, then there was a quarrelsome over one, and then they went to them. They didn't stop digging, did they? They continued to dig. They continued to press in. They did not stop. Because, see, they knew they were blessed. See, so many times people have to be convinced that they're blessed. See, when you know you're blessed, you don't stop. And when a well dries up, you dig another. You just don't stop. Because you know that you're blessed. Amen? In verse 23, then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the Lord your God, the father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he did what? He built an altar there and called the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a what? A well. I want you to grab hold of something, because a well is associated with the altar. A well is associated with the altar. Because it's the altar of sacrifice that's a sweet aroma that goes up. Is everybody with me? It's the altar of sacrifice. And in this, there's that place where you and I dig for his presence. We dig in. We press in. So in other words, the altar is what allows us to access the well. Why? Because through the blood of Christ, we have access to all things, don't we? So where the altar is, the well is. And where the well is, the altar is. Because they go together. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, and verse 26. And Amalek came to him from Gerar with Hazzaphath and his friends and Philchal, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to him, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? But they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you, but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. So he made them a feast. They ate and they drank. And they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said, we have found water. In other words, more water, more blessings. Why? Because he made peace. You know, the Bible says that when you are right with God, even your enemies will be at peace with you. Is everybody okay? So these wells, these are wells of God's presence. But in his presence, what happens? These are wells of blessing. They're wells of prosperity. They are wells of revelation. They are wells of visitation. Why? Because these wells are the presence of God. Amen? Is everybody okay? So again, we must continue to dig and press in. We dig and press in. Go to John 5. Wells of his presence. Hallelujah. John 5, verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. You know, the word tells us that we're to stir ourselves up. We're to be stirred up. Stir up your most holy faith. Stir up. So here an angel comes down and stirs up the water. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps in before me." Again, the man was making excuses. And I'm not saying that he wasn't correct, but he wasn't getting into the water because he was paralyzed. He was hoping that somebody would bring him in. Does everybody got it? Well, let me tell you, when people are wanting to be healed and they have a sickness and disease in family, they want to be healed. Amen? They want to be healed. So that man was going to stay there because everybody was going to beat him to the well unless somebody came and brought him in. But Jesus was saying, look, now understand this at the pool where the water was. But Jesus was standing next to the pool. He was standing next to the water because he's the one that sent the angels. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get healed?" And the man was saying, "No, you don't get it, man. I just can't get in that water." But he wasn't realizing that he was speaking to the healer. Amen? And Jesus answered and said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Put that bed down. You can't be healed. You didn't get in that pool. What's the matter with you? It's the Sabbath. And he answered him and he said, "He who made me whole, made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who was the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Whoa. So Jesus healed the man, didn't he? But there was something that he said. Don't sin no more. You know how many people lose their healings? You know how many people lose their deliverance? You know how many people lose all kinds of stuff? Because you know what they do? They drink. I want to say from the cup of demons. Because that cup's been dipped in to the wrong well. Is everybody with me? So the stirring up of the water, but of course Jesus was right next to the water. And he was the healer. Why? Because the water was representing the well of his presence. The angel was coming to bring the presence of God. And the first one that got in got healed. Go to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. Well of his presence. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Numbers 21, verse 21. Then Israel sent messengers to Shihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into fields or vineyards, and we will not drink water from" what? Wells. In other words, you don't want to drink water from a well that's not designated for you. Amen? "We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Shihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Shahan gathered all of his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Aran to Jabbok, as far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. So even when Israel, because Israel was favored by God now, because the Lord was leading them through that, he said, don't drink of that well. It's okay, don't take anything there. I will provide for you. Go through there. And as you go through there, if anything happens, I will protect you because you're obedient to me. Amen? So here they came out against them, and they ended up defeating them and taking everything. So praise God, because God was with them. Again, we don't want to drink from another well, because what you intake will cause mixed messages. Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5. Wells of his presence. Is everybody there? Verse 15. Proverbs 5:15. What does it say? Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your what? Your own well. In other words, one that God has designated to you. Drink from your own cistern and water from your own well. Again, this is two things. This is associated with corporate well and personal well. Your own cistern, amen, and a well. There's a corporate well and there's a personal well. Go to John 4. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 4. Verse 6. Let's read it together. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into what? Eternal life. Because he was explaining to her about the correct well to drink from. Amen? So we must drink from the well that God has given us. Again, when we begin to, the enemy's always going to try to bring something else from us to drink. And it's going to cause mixed messages. It's going to cause us to see differently. It's going to cause us to hear differently. It's going to cause us to, our perception is going to be different. Our discernment will be different. And the enemy loves to get us into that place to push and not lead. And what he'll do is he'll push us to another well. We begin to drink it and become contaminated. Then confusion comes, frustration comes, fear, anxiety, stress. All of these things come because we drink from another well. Has everybody got it? Go to Isaiah 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Is everybody there? Oh, well, let's start at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1, and let's speak it together. The wells of his presence. Oh, Lord, I will what? Praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of what? Salvation. And even when somebody gets saved, they just drink from the well of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Again, that is called the well of salvation. You know, many people go to bars and they drink the wrong well. It is not well with their soul. It's called a cup of demons. I mean, they really need to be truthful about it. It's not food and spirits. It's food and demons. Amen? In John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Hallelujah, in verse 37. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Why? Because he is the well. He's the well of salvation. But again, in this, there is a place that he positions me and you so that we drink. We have been placed here to drink. There's a specific well corporately. And there's another part of that well that we have personally that we drink from. And in that well, it's all about Jesus. It's about drinking truth. It's about drinking his love. It's about drinking his presence. Because in his presence is everything. So we drink his spirit, don't we? Amen. We do it by praise and worship. That's why we love the praise and worship. Because we're drinkers. And we love to get drunk. But we like to get drunk in the spirit. No hangover. Amen. And no guilt or condemnation. And no torment or demons. Hallelujah. So in this, when we are drinking, now let me share with you. One of the things that the enemy loves to do, and as I was driving over here, I saw a well in my past. And the Lord said, that's the well of the past. And too many people dip their cup into the well of the past. And it brings emotions to the presence. They begin to think about what has happened in their past. Hurts, feelings, rejections, all of these things. That's from dipping your cup into the well of the past. And as you drink of it, you begin to get contaminated again. I'm telling you, I was driving down the road and I saw a well behind me. He said, "Guy, that's the well of the past." So, and if you dip, if you go back there and keep dipping into that, now you're living in your past. You're no longer living from the future. Because we're not to live from the past to the present. We live from the future to the present. See, then what happens is you begin to see yourself according to the way you used to, instead of see yourself to what he sees you. You know, it is so vitally important. What begins to happen then is we become blinded. We become uncertain. We become unstable. And the more you drink of the well of the past, the less you'll drink of the well of the Lord, his presence. Now you're living in the past. And that's all you're thinking about is you. What fulfills you instead of the things that fulfill what please God. Amen? Proverbs 16. We have a teaching called the Well of Delusion. It's powerful. I encourage you to get it and listen to it. Proverbs 16. Believe me, there's sometimes when I ask somebody, "Man, what well are you drinking from?" Just another saying of who told you that, huh? Proverbs 16, verse 17. Is everybody there? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. But pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a what? Is a wellspring of life to him who has it. But the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lip. Why? Because he's drinking from the well of his presence. Has everybody got it? He's drinking from the well of the presence of the Lord. Go to Proverbs 18. Oh, hallelujah. Let's start at verse 1. A man who isolates himself, what? Seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Why? Because he's drinking from the well of the presence of God. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 5. Revelation comes from the well. Revelation. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 6, let's speak it. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall what? They shall be filled. So if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you have a desire to press in. You have a desire to dig. And because of that, you will be filled. Why? Because you just drank from the presence the well of the presence of God. In fact, and it says, go to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. So listen, is what happens is because counsel, correction, and direction comes from the well. Understanding comes from the well. Revelation comes from the well. You're able to see things through. And in that, you'll come to a place where you'll maintain a pure heart and clean hands. And those who have a pure heart will see God. Amen? Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians. One of the things about the well, because it's the well of revelation also, is that there are hidden treasures in this well. There are treasures in this well. There are specific things that God, as you begin to drink, that God begins to impart in you. You know, it's like when you're praying in tongues, you're actually drinking from the well. So when, and that's why the Bible says, stir up yourselves, stir up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying in tongues, you're actually drinking from the well. And as you're drinking from the well, something's beginning to happen. You're getting an impartation in your spirit. These are treasures that are in your spirit. And as the Holy Spirit sees fit when it's needed, he pulls them forward and you use it. The reason why you don't know is because the enemy knows how you think and he knows exactly what you're thinking. That's why you don't have understanding of what you're praying. Has everybody got it? So if you're praying in the Spirit, you're drinking from the well of his presence. He's imparting you treasures of revelation knowledge. You don't understand it, but then all of a sudden he brings it up to you. You know, last Friday, I think it was, when we were praying, when we were getting ready to pray, well, after we started in our worship And I realized that my tongues changed. I don't know if it was Sunday anyways, one of those days. But my tongues changed. And as my tongues changed on me, immediately I heard the voice. As I was praying in tongues, I heard the voice praying what I was praying in tongues. So the interpretation was being brought forth immediately. So in other words, I actually knew what I was praying, even though I was praying in tongues. But it was because the Spirit was praying about opening up the heavens, opening up the doors and the gates and pouring out his Spirit and opening the hearts to receive. And there was all kinds of things that was happening so quickly, but I knew that what I was praying in tongues, I knew what I was praying. So it didn't need to be imparted in me at that time because it was for the body at that period of time. And then after that, there was an interpretation also about new wineskins and something else. I don't remember. But anyways, this is what's so important about praying in the Spirit, because you're actually, when you pray in the Spirit, you are drinking from the well of his presence. But you got to be careful. Because the enemy will come and try and bring you something else. And this is where it's important that we discern these things. In other words, what is the motive? What is the attitude of certain things? What is all around this message that God is giving us in this impartation when we drink? What is it really occurring? What's happening? What's the fruit of it? Vitally important to understand. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 1, Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I had for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the what? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Listen, this is in the well. All the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge is in the well of his presence. And he so desires to impart it in us. Wisdom tells us how to do it and when to do it. Knowledge tells us what it is. Is everybody all right? Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Hidden treasures. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 7. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? You know, one of the things that we need to do is judge the fruit of that well. Then you'll know whether you're drinking from the right one or not. Because you'll judge your own fruit, won't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's speak it. But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Whoa. Why? Because they're drinking from the well of his presence. We have this treasure. We are these earthen vessels that have the treasure. This treasure in me and you is the power of God. Look at verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not what? Crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You know how many times people run when they're persecuted? Or if they go through a trial or whatever, the first thing they do is they run. You know why? They're not drinking. They're not drinking. They're not drinking from the well of his presence. In Psalm 16, they begin to drink. As soon as a conflict comes, they begin to drink from the well of their past. Or they begin to use the knowledge and understanding from the well of their past and try to bring it into the spirit, and it don't work. Psalm 16. Is everybody there? Let's read verse 11. You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Fullness of what? Joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures of forevermore. Why? Because they drank from what? The well of his presence. Fullness of joy. There should always be joy. No matter what you're going through, there should always be joy. You know, you're going to go through stuff, but I said you're going to go through it. If you're staying, if you're drinking, you know, drunks go through red lights. They go through stop signs. They go through everything. They're dangerous out there. You know why? Because they don't care. But you and I, if we'll stay drunk in the spirit, we're going to go through all of life's trials, all of life's despairs, all of life's stings, all of life's rejections, all of life's mistakes. We're going to go through it. But the thing that we don't want to do is start drinking from the well of our past. Because then you get caught up in you. Next thing you know, you're diving in there. Then you're woe is me. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is right after Kings, or Chronicles, I mean, 2 Chronicles. Nehemiah chapter 8. So the fullness of joy is in his presence, and there are pleasures forevermore. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Come on, let's speak it out. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, hallelujah. So if you're truly drinking from that well, you're going to be joyful and you're going to be strengthened. You're going to be joyful and you're going to be strengthened. And nothing else is going to satisfy you. It will attempt to try to come and bring you comfort and satisfaction, but you're going to say nope, because you'll have the discernment. You'll be sensitive, because you're drinking off his presence. You'll be so sensitive that you won't want anything. You don't want to touch nothing. You don't want anything to contaminate. And you must be careful then so that you don't open yourself to something else to drink. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Pete chapter 2. When we begin to drink at the wrong well, especially the well of the past, and get contaminated, people begin to run to the world. And verse 15, and it says, then they begin to forsake the things of God. And it says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of what? Unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. In other words, these are wells without God's presence. Clouds carried by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And this is what begins to happen. That's why so many times when you run into a wall, or certain things happen in your life, and man, that's all it takes is one cup of that well of past. And the next thing you know, you're back there, unless you discern right away and empty out that cup. You may start to sip from it, but it should taste nasty to you. It shouldn't taste right. There are certain things that I hear that I know that are just not right. They're not my dad. There's certain things that I can sense that are not my dad. There's certain things I can see that are not my dad. But it doesn't mean that you go bonkers over it, because we want to do things according to God's will and his time. Amen? But there are certain things that you know, because you've been drinking from the well of his presence, that just don't taste right. So we don't drink from the well of the past or the well of delusion or deception. And I want to close it somewhere. Let's go to Jude. Jude, verse 16. And we'll close here. Is everybody there? These are what? Grumblers. Man, did you ever get around a grumbler? They drank from, not from God's well of his presence. They drank from another well. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts or desires. These are sensual persons who cause what? Divisions, not having their spirit. In other words, not being filled, drinking from the wrong well. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's praying in tongues. Keeping yourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making distinction. But look it. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The well of his presence. Make sure you're drinking the right well and discern the taste from the other. Amen. Is everybody okay? You got it. Good. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. We thank you. We thank you for the well of your presence where revelation comes, where impartation comes, where freedom comes, where there's healing, where there's relationship. And Lord, anything that we have, any other cup of any other well that we have drank from that promoted anxiousness or fear or anxiety or anything else, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would remove it from us as we repent for drinking from the wells of past or deception in any way whatsoever. So, Lord, let the seed be imparted, let it be protected by the blood, and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.